has to stop. Rocking around the Christmas tree, let the Christmas spirit ring.
It is 6:35. You're listening to 100.5 FM. Good morning. I'm Ray Richardson. Thanks for joining us. We're broadcasting live from the RowAutoGroup.com studios. Don't forget, our McVetty's Hearth and Home text line is 207-409-6172. You can find out more at StovesOfMaine.com. I didn't want to sound like I was trying to pick on Beth Franklin of Cumberland too much. I don't know Miss Franklin, at least to my knowledge. I've never met her. But her letter to me was indicative of part of the problem we're facing here. There are just a lot of people in the state, and they all seem to sort of congregate in the same place, who just seem to operate in a culture of fear and misunderstanding. And Miss Franklin appears to be one of them. The comments she made about Fox News are laughable on their surface, but when you delve down into them, it's clear she really believes it, and she also must watch Fox because she had some knowledge of some of the things that were said. But if you move on this morning from her op-ed to other letters, one of the headlines is, loyalty should be first to the country. Well, we all agree with that, and many of the people that Donald Trump has appointed have demonstrated great loyalty to this country, as well as an adherence to the rule of law. But this is part of that fear campaign that is continuing to be spread, which is why so many people are talking about living in fear. And you hear a lot of marginalized groups in this country saying that they're scared to death because fear is a powerful, powerful thing. We obviously saw that during the pandemic and how people like Janet Mills used fear to try to control people. And she did a pretty good job of using that fear. So many Mainers fell prey, P-R-E-Y, fell prey to her fear-mongering. And as we knew at the time, and we can say that because we sued her twice, and we had also done the research about what the best practices were for a pandemic. Apparently, Governor Mills chose not to do that kind of research. I'm really not sure why, other than maybe this really was what it feels like to me, a ruse to see just how far the people of Maine could be pushed and acquiesce. And she pushed them pretty far. I mean, I had people telling me that they had parents who were older who would not come out of their houses for any reason. They would have their groceries delivered. They would have medicine delivered. They wouldn't come out of their houses because they were so concerned about catching the virus. And I get it. There were people that died. There's no doubt about it. There were people who had underlying health issues who died from COVID. There's no doubt that that's true. But part of the death that occurred in this country was exacerbated by the elected people and the way they behaved. Look at Andrew Cuomo in New York. Look what that fella did. And now I guess he's trying to make a comeback and run for mayor of New York, which is just bizarre. But if New York elects him, then they deserve what they get. You know, elections are, there are, as Barack Hussein Obama so rightfully said, elections have consequences, and when you choose poorly, the consequences can, in fact, be severe. They were certainly severe in New York with the actions of Andrew Cuomo, but you saw it all over the country. In states that chose freedom over fear, those states did pretty well. And states that chose fear over freedom, those states suffered. The people of their state suffered. Yeah, it was really funny. Janet Mills shut down business in the state of Maine. Shut it down. If you were around then, you know that. Shut things down, shut down restaurants, did all kinds of crazy stuff. Yet somehow the tax revenue of the state of Maine never suffered. Anybody ever think about that? I was thinking about that. The flight was fabulous, but as you know, I've got a bad hip, and it was difficult flying back. We were stood in line so long. And so I would literally just try to close my eyes, and I couldn't get comfortable, so I couldn't fall asleep. So I started thinking about things. And one of the things that I thought about was, here in the state of Maine, the governor of the state shut down business. Best estimates are about 22% of Maine businesses failed completely. In other words, they're closed still to this day. And yet tax revenue to the state of Maine never suffered. How is that possible? How do you have businesses completely shut down except for those that were deemed necessary? How do you have so many companies fail permanently? They're closed permanently. And yet tax revenue never suffered in the state of Maine. In fact, as you know, under the leadership of Janet Mills, the governor of Maine, we've seen a dramatic rise in tax revenue and a dramatic rise in spending, unprecedented spending. You know, at some point, we're going to have to wake up to the reality, to wake up to the truth. The fact is, the government will be served no matter what. No matter what it costs the people, it will be served. It will be fed. But in this country, and it used to be in this state in particular, where our people were known as rugged individualists who were fiercely independent. Fiercely independent. It's what drew me here. The reputation of Maine for being rugged individuals who were fiercely independent. In other words, they valued freedom. They wanted to be left alone. It's what drew me here, this opportunity to come to a place where people valued freedom. At the time that I left Florida, we discussed it with my in-laws over the weekend. At lunch after church on Sunday. By the way, I'm going to digress here. I know some of you don't like it when I talk about faith, but I'm going to talk about faith right now. We went to Connor and Bailey's new church. It's very similar to the one we go to here in Maine, but with some nuances. And the pastor there, he is doing a series right now where he's using pop culture and part of what goes on in pop culture to demonstrate how faith flows through everything, how belief in God and these things are all fundamentally drawn together. It was really extraordinary, and I'm so happy for Connor and Bailey finding a church like that. If we lived in Florida, we don't, but if we did, Dee Dee and I would definitely go to that church. It was an extraordinary experience. But let's go back to this for a moment. They shut down the churches. They shut down the places of fellowship, like drug addiction and alcohol addiction places where people would go and gather and find fellowship and find strength amongst each other. They shut down businesses. They shut down restaurants, decide to let them reopen, and then shut them down again before they could reopen. About 22% of all businesses in the state of Maine, that's the best estimate, are permanently closed because of the actions of Janet Mills. And not once did tax revenue suffer here. The state of Maine government will be fed. And again, so we came here in 1985 because I was drawn to the idea that Maine had always stood for, that as Maine goes, so goes the nation. That's a slogan that really doesn't have much meaning anymore. But there was a time in this country where what Maine did mattered so much, most of the rest of the nation followed its lead. And because it was known for people who were fiercely independent, and they were rugged individuals who saw government for what it really is, a necessary evil, not something to be cherished. Government is not an entity to be cherished, because no matter the government throughout the long history of the world, no matter how great the ideals are, and the ideals of our Constitution are tremendous, but throughout the long history of the world, government is an entity that always encroaches on the rights and freedoms of the people it serves. And it has done that throughout history, and we're seeing it right now with our own government at the state, local, school, and federal level. But when we came here in 85, we saw Maine as this grand opportunity. Now, of course, we had just gotten married, young and in love and ambitious, and we saw Maine as a place of hope and opportunity. And frankly, at the time when we were down in Florida, we didn't see Florida that way. We were discussing it with our in-laws at brunch after church. And in 1985, Florida was not what it is today. But Florida decided to make a change. Florida decided that the government was a servant, not a master. The people of Florida decided that government had a role in their lives, but it was a role that they dictated to the government, not the government dictating to them. And what you see in Florida right now is a lot of hope and a lot of opportunity. That's why people are flocking to the state. It's the third largest state in the country now. It was not always that case. And what are we seeing in Maine? Well, we've seen some people move to our state, but what we haven't seen is a workforce that's growing. We haven't seen an economy that's growing. It's limping along. We've seen people who are still wonderful, solid, salt-of-the-earth people. But now they're oppressed by the government that once was a liberator. Folks, that's got to change. And the fear-mongering that goes on by the people who are in the government or supportive of this kind of government has got to be counteracted. Ultimately, I believe the reason Maine did not change and the rest of the country did, the rest of the country accepted that we were in a rough spot and that the same kind of leadership was only going to make the rough spot more difficult. In the state of Maine, we stayed the course. We're in a rough spot, and the people that put us in the rough spot, we rewarded, leaving them in power. They are not the people that will liberate the state. And this state does need liberation. The government in this state is far too oppressive for any type of sustained long-term prosperity. When you talk to business owners in the state of Maine, this is what they commonly will tell you. They have to endure their government. They have to find a way to overcome the barriers that government puts in front of them. And most often, they're able to do it. But they won't always be able to do it, and we know that because many, many businesses fail. Because the government has made the circumstances of their existence and their operation far too difficult. Is there a reason for it? There's no common sense reason for it, but there is a reason for it. And it's called absolute power, which is what the people in Augusta desire. You and I are the only thing that can stop that, but we've got to stop living in fear. Now, they have a real propaganda machine in this state. The Democrats, I got to give them credit. They've got the Maine People's Alliance. They've got all kinds of money. But they also have the media. About the only bastion of liberated conversation in the state is talk radio. The rest of it is all about fear-mongering. And that somehow or another, if we don't do this, people will die, which is not true. But here's what is true. When the government is so oppressive that a man and woman get up and go to work every day and try to provide for their family. And when they get home at night, instead of finding their home a place of comfort and solitude, they have to spend their time trying to figure out how they're going to make ends meet for tomorrow. That's a problem that we don't want to talk about here. But I promise you this, going into 2025, News Talk WLOB is going to put a serious emphasis on the detrimental aspects of our government that are causing this. Because the economy is a moral issue. I've been saying that here for two decades. And I don't care if anyone else in the state believes that, but I believe that. And since this is my show, that is what I'm going to focus on, is the moral nature of our economy. I not only find it immoral, I find it repugnant that a husband and wife can get up and go to work 5 days a week, 8 hours a day, 80 hours a week between the two of them, and they can't make ends meet. You know, you think about it, at a $15 an hour minimum wage, that's $60,000 a year. Now, $60,000 is not all the money in the world. And it's not a lot of money. There's no doubt about it. It's not a lot of money unless you don't have it. But if two people are making 15 bucks an hour and they work 40 hours a week, that's $1,200 a week. You take a couple of weeks of vacation, which most people at that level of financing can't do. But that's $60,000 a year. In the old days, and I'm not talking about the long old days, but within the last decade, you weren't rich by any stretch of the imagination, but you could at least afford to pay a mortgage, have a car or two, put food and goodies on the table, heat your home, air condition your home, and live your life. Maybe it was a modest life, but it was a life nonetheless. And that's minimum wage. But if you up the ante here, and let's say you're making 20 bucks an hour, so suddenly you're making $1,600 a week between the two people, which is $80,000 a year, you still can't get by. WGME 13 put out last week that there were 100,000, not people, 100,000 households in the state of Maine that cannot pay their electricity bill. Now, I know Matt, Pete, and Mark yesterday talked a lot about energy, so I'm not going to get back on that right now. But the bottom line here is the reason that that's the case is not because of natural occurrences. There is no natural shortage of energy in this country, not even in the state. It's public policy. All of the struggles, A-L-L, all, they say you're never supposed to say all or never or those words. I don't agree. All of the struggles that the working class of this state faces have been caused by poor public policy. The triple P of government, poor public policy. You and I can change that. The rest of the country did it. Maine stood apart and did not. Even in New Hampshire, which did not go for President Trump, they did elect a Republican governor in Kelly Ayotte. Vermont has a Republican governor. Now, I wouldn't trade those places for Maine. I love Maine with all my heart. And if I didn't know it, I certainly did this weekend, even though this weekend was amazing. I missed Maine. I missed being in Maine. When I heard that it was going to snow, I hated the fact that the first real snow of the year I wasn't here to see. I love this state. But just because you love something doesn't mean that collectively you can't mistreat it, because we have mistreated this magnificent soil by allowing the triple P of government, poor public policy, to infiltrate our government, driven by rigid ideology, and it is harming, it is hurting the people of this great state. And these are great people. They deserve better. So we got a big job to do here. And part of what we've got to do is start providing a pathway of hope, because too many people in Maine have fallen prey, P-R-E-Y, to fear. And fear does many things, but one of the things it does is paralyze you. And when fear paralyzes you, you don't make real change because the devil you know is somehow more comfortable than the devil you haven't met yet. Fear is real. Fear is paralyzing. And the people of this state who lead our government have been fear-mongers for that reason, to paralyze you into inaction. The rest of the country was awakened to the problems that the nation faces, and they made a big choice. And the choice is even bigger in the context. And that context is, there's no way Donald Trump could ever win this thing. Remember, 4 years ago about this time, people were saying he was dead on arrival. So the fact that he won in the manner in which he won is even more extraordinary. That kind of change can happen here. But we've got to stop the fear-mongering that is paralyzing our people into inaction.
We fix people by fixing their car. I like being part of that.
It's a great feeling knowing that you've done something that looks good and you know the customer is going to be happy with.